Recent research in genetics prompts commentator Marion Roach to reflect on things she's learned from her mother-in-law.
The mapping of the human genome has me taking stock of things I have inherited. I got my father's red hair, as well as his knees. I've also come into a collection of recipe boxes of dead relatives. These boxes are as much a lineage as my dad's looks, and they link my ancestral nourishment from South Dakota to Indiana, back to England, Scotland, and Germany. They reveal who I am, I guess, lacking as they do any recipes from Africa or from Asia, for that matter. That is, unless you consider my mother-in-law's spam chop suey in any way Eastern, which would be seriously stretching this recipe. Its four basic ingredients are spam, fat, rice, and a can of cream of mushroom soup. Each recipe in her box, in fact, includes some combination of these four. Looked at by their ingredients alone, each of the recipe boxes I've collected may be viewed as a steady diet for nourishment, disease, or some uneven prandial existence in between. They are also a handy way to explain genetics. Here's what I mean. Let's say that the genome is my mother-in-law's recipe file box. If there were 23 little colored tabs sticking up within it, beef, poultry, cheese, casseroles, hors d'oeuvres, etc., they are the 23 chromosomes in the human body. Within each of these are genes, or in this case, the recipes, including, of course, the spam chop suey with its four basic ingredients. The human genome equivalent of these ingredients are adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine, written in genetic transcription as A, C, G, and T. And just like my mother-in-law's four staple ingredients, these four are always present in every gene. The old-fashioned world of the recipe box, index cards neatly in place, always on the ready, works well when considering how I email them, particularly to my dear friend Elizabeth. Both of us inherited an uneasy sense of dinner time, being catch-as-catch-can, where children retrieve olives from warming cocktail glasses and call it vegetables. We both hoped not to pass this on to our daughters. Back and forth between us travel a fluent battery of recipes that get saved. Ready to go with the touch of a file attachment button, these recipes are simply cloned. By contrast, my mother-in-law's recipes are written by hand, copied over and over for her children and friends, and therefore prone to typos and changes, but always with the same basic ingredients. This process is pretty much what goes on in replication, where the gene is copied and passed along. I have the box she made for her youngest child, my husband, in which she adapted the spam chop suey recipe to a serving for one. In her large box version, it has what it takes to make it for 20. For holidays, we undergo what genetics calls recombination, when we unite our two families' inherited holiday recipes and lay it out in the form of a single feast before our unsuspecting child, who will grow up thinking that this is the food, including the spam chop suey, of her ancestors, which is particularly piquant since she was adopted in China.